Are you able to say what it is that you believe? Each week at Daleville Christian Church, we have an affirmation of faith taken directly from God's Word. Today's from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The reading from God's Word for today is from 2 John. You might read all of 2 John someday. It's basically one chapter, but it doesn't even have chapters because it's so short. Today's reading from 2 John, verses 5 through 8. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. We have in these brief verses, in a very brief letter of 2 John, read it all, and you can say you read a whole book of the Bible today. But in this very brief letter of 2 John is a statement of the problem and a statement of the solution to that problem. And this can be very helpful to the believer and to the churches of believers. However, a larger perspective may be gained by looking at all three letters of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We will not take time to look at them in detail, but we are given more insight into the problem when we look a little farther than just 2 John. The problem, to put it simply, is love. Love can be a problem, can't it? Oh, I suppose it's easy to love those who love you. But that's not what we as followers of Jesus are called to do, is it? I mean, by all means, love those who love you, but also love those who do not love you. You recall our Lord Jesus' own words, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends His rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Jesus' point is that the Heavenly Father does not discriminate in the Heavenly Father's love. That can be hard to hear, can't it? It was hard to hear back then, too. Jesus even told a story about a successful farmer who needed to hire day laborers to work the fields for the harvest. Some went early in the day, some went midday, some went late in the day. All were paid what the farmer had told the early morning laborers. Yes, there was almost a riot. But the farmer said, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Ah, the generosity of our God who will bless even the evil farmer's fields. Yes, we understand it, but we still don't like it. So if we have trouble with our God being loving to evil people, how much harder it is to make ourselves act lovingly to those who mistreat us. The Apostle Paul and Peter are in agreement. Romans 12, 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So here's the problem, as John outlines it to the church from 1 John chapter 2. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So what's making some other believers so difficult to love? What did they do that was so bad? Well, John gives us a hint. The apostle reminds us that lust and pride are not of the Heavenly Father. Denying Jesus, particularly that Jesus came in the flesh. You see, Jesus came in the flesh. Why would anyone deny that? Well, some people wanted to believe that Jesus was all spirit, but Jesus did come to us in the flesh, a point that John's gospel book emphasizes in the first 14 verses of his book. Why is that important? Because that means that Jesus is also redeeming the flesh. He's redeeming the soul and the body. We're to be given new life and in the heavenly places receive a new body. Jesus is going to make the flesh also serve God. The sinful flesh, redeemed, will also serve God. The apostle will say, honor God with your bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You see, there were plenty of ancient Christians ready to just write off the body, the flesh. Starvation, not marrying, strict diets, either not having sex or having all the sex you wanted because the body didn't matter. You would have to admit it would be difficult to love someone like that. And it all came from focusing all the time on the spirit and not the day-to-day living. The apostle's letter will emphasize the importance of Jesus' earthly living. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. In the flesh, it really happened. Here on earth, this is the place where salvation was done, and this is the place where we will be redeemed. Clearly, Jesus had a body. His spirit, like ours, was in a body, and the body was sacrificed for us, body and blood. This is love, says the apostle. Love is real. You and I and all the songwriters talk about the love in the heart. The apostle says love had flesh, and love has flesh. Love lives in the world, and love does things in the world, not just write poetry or songs. The apostle states, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, the apostle doesn't say we have to die for one another, but to give of ourselves to others. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, that's it. As Jesus gave his life, we give what we have to those in need. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. 1 John chapter 3. And in today's letter, the apostle says, look, people, this is not news. You know this. And now, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Verse 5 says, "And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command." Some scholars will claim that the dear lady is, in fact, a dear lady. Maybe she is, and maybe she isn't. That is, maybe the apostle is writing to a daughter church or a sister church. The church is the dear lady. So the letter is to the whole congregation, which in many ways makes a lot more sense, in my opinion, with the warnings, the cautions, and the general teaching about how believers behave towards other believers. Also of interest to us is the apostle's reflections on the basis of the evil that some are facing. 1 John 3:9, "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God." This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. The apostles explain the source of the problem. But please notice the apostle does not ask the believers to sort people into groups. You're a child of God, you're not, you're a child of the devil. You go stand over there, and you, child of God, go stand over there. The apostle does not ask us to do that, to sort out those who are truly born of God and those who aren't. The apostle makes note of it as a way of explanation, but the apostle does not say, "Have these people all sorted out before I get there." We do not have to decide those things. But notice what the apostle does say to do. And I'll say that again. Notice what the apostle does tell us to do. This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I would also notice that the apostle has used a physical term for loving, walk in it. Loving is action, movement. Of course, for the ancients, the way was the way of life, a way of living. A person walks in the way next to or in the street. A person lives on a path as they go through life. The follower of Jesus walks in love. And I just noticed this in the beginning of 2 John. "It has given me some great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us." Some? Me, I might think I would have great joy if all the children were walking in truth, but not this apostle. And I think I've told you, when I had 4 children at home, I prayed to the Lord that I might have 3 of them be baptized. I figured 75% was a good success rate. When our youngest wanted to be baptized, I was ecstatic. I only hoped for 75%. I was going to get 100%. Praise the Lord. And yet the apostle still could write, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us." So I too am not bringing you anything new today. You know this command. The apostle also knew how hard it could be. Jesus certainly knew how hard it could be to love, especially the Pharisees. But even to the Pharisees, Jesus left open the question, "What have you heard me say? What have you heard me do? What have you seen me do? Who do you say that I am?" Yes, it is hard to love. It's hard to continue to love. The apostle reminds us in this letter of 2 John, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Your efforts, your willingness, your desire to walk in love brings the Father and the Son to help you through the Holy Spirit to love. to love more. My wife, Deb, works with a number of children who need a lot of help. These children often have trouble learning. Often they have trouble even focusing on what is happening in front of them or focusing on what the teacher is saying. There are some students who have no motivation to do anything, let alone master a new skill or improve a particular skill. I remember one child who attended our vacation Bible school. At the evening program, the mom had both of her children with her, a younger one, really too young to watch what was going on. The older one had attended vacation Bible school each day, and he had trouble even sitting on a seat in the pew. He was up and down, and then often going to the front or walking up the aisle. And yes, that child was one of my wife's students. I finally took that child on my lap in order to, corral him. Have you ever tried to hold a young pig on your lap? Not a baby one, one about a month old. Well, it was a lot like that. I recall there was some actual squealing, but it wasn't from delight. Here at Daleville Christian Church, the Vacation Bible School had provided a wonderful program for this child and his family. In many ways, that child wasn't even in the sanctuary to appreciate and enjoy the program. Hard to love? Yes. Reject the child? No. The apostle didn't mention that word. The apostle didn't use the word reject or refuse or oppose or beat or hog tie, and I really thought hog tying would have worked with that child. Walk in love. What you and I have known from the beginning. But you would say to me, but Pastor, that was a child. But that's exactly my point. There are plenty of adults in the world as difficult as this child. Learn to walk in love with those adults also. Amen.